Had somebody give me this bottle of water this morning. It says, Jesus offers living water. So I'm hoping that what I give you this morning is living water. Amen? Amen. Title of the teaching today is part two. It is loosening, tearing away, breaking yokes and oppression, our call, part two. We are, I had initially, when I was thinking about this fast back in September, it felt like the Lord was telling me this type of fast, loosening the bonds of wickedness and breaking yokes and all these kind of things. I thought this was what we were going to do for everybody else. And as I was preparing the teaching, the Lord kept telling me that this is what we need to do as a church in our own lives first. And then we can go from there. And so as I'm talking to you this morning, what we're doing is, what I'm really focusing on is on obsession and oppression, the two O's of destruction. It's the things that lead us as Christians into bondage. And we, God is calling us to be free. And so as I walk through these things, I want you to just sit back and relax. And I want you to just evaluate your own heart and in your mind, is this stuff in my life? And if it is, it's not something to be afraid of. It's something to say, okay, God, I see it. Now I want to deal with it. Because these are the things that are holding me back from becoming who you want me to be. And so we're beginning once again, as we have for the last couple weeks, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. Julie is reading. Give her a round of applause, please, this morning. She loves being the center of attention. I can just tell as she reads Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. Julie?
Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
There are exciting things that God wants to do in and through us. Say with me, there's exciting things God wants to do in me and through me. There are all kinds of things. Our nation is in trouble. Our area is in trouble. Some of our families are in trouble. And God has given us the key to make that happen. He has called us to make a major difference. And see, I need you to understand, as I mentioned last week, that we need to understand three things. Number one, that this is part of our call, the breaking the bonds of wickedness, loosening the bonds of wickedness, breaking the yokes and unloosening heavy burdens and letting the oppressed free. All these things are our call. Say with me, it's my call.
It's my call.
This is number two. We need to understand this is not something God is he's not asking us to ask him to make this happen. He is saying we have the power to make this happen. So we need to say, okay, God, I've got the power. Say with me, I've got the power. See, the Holy Spirit is in you, right?
Yes.
The power of God is resident in you. And as we begin to realize this, the devil trembles. As we begin to realize this, our flesh begins to quake. As we begin to realize this, all of the principalities and powers in our region, in our state, and in our world begin to become afraid. We will be those, as we begin to believe this, who, as it talked about in the book of Acts, turn the world upside down. But we have to be willing to embrace it. We have to be willing to grasp it. We have to be willing to say, yes, I understand. The other thing that we need to understand here is that as we are compassionate toward others, he pours compassion into us. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or as Paul writes in Galatians, don't you know that any good thing you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. As we do these type of things, God pours more and more into us. We cannot outlove God. We cannot outgive God. We cannot outmaneuver God. God continues to pour into us. more and more we pour out, the more and more he pours in. Say with me, the more I pour out, the more he pours in. Because he will not be outdone. So I want to start this morning a little backward, but talking about breaking every yoke. Now, I want you to see what a yoke looks like here. There's a yoke, okay? It's not an egg. It is a piece of wood that two oxen go into, or sometimes two horses, there we go, the ox, the cattle. Normally, there's an older ox and a younger ox working together, and the older ox is teaching the younger ox. The older ox carries the burden of the yoke, and the younger ox is just being guided. And sometimes these yokes can become a bondage. So God is speaking to us through Isaiah chapter 58 and saying, you have to be able to break these yokes. You have to be able to break them off of yourself and off of others. It can be a bad habit that we can't seem to break and leave behind for good. But when we fast, bad habits are broken and addictions are broken when you fast. And I'm asking you to fast an attitude. And what's interesting is that it seems that over this first couple weeks of the month of January that we're in this fast, there is more flesh rising up. It's kind of like when I do a straight 40-day fast, and it seems like every commercial on television is for some juicy, hot meal. You know? And that's when everybody around me is like breathing on me, and I can smell what they just had to eat. It's like, can I have some of that, please? When we're talking about an attitude fast, when we're talking about breaking these bondages, loosening this wickedness, breaking all these things off of us, all this flesh is rising up in rebellion saying, no, I want to be offended. No, I want to have my own way. No, I don't want to do that. And God's saying, listen, in order for you to set people free, you need to be free. Don't be afraid of it when your flesh rises up, because that means the Holy Spirit is really moving in your life and dealing with it. See, I mentioned that these are habits or things like that, and our tendency is to go to substances like food or alcohol or drugs. But that there are some in this body that battle those things, and I know that, but more often than not, it's these things. It is behaviors like self-pity, a critical spirit, self-condemnation, gossip, that are things that we have to break. Or emotions like anger, rage, lust, excitement, neediness, jealousy, envy, suspicion. Or certain activities that become bondages and addictions to us, like entertainment or games or TV shows or Facebook, golf, gambling. Golf. I know, to some people it's an addiction. I don't get it. Whack a ball, walk 100 yards. Whack a ball, walk 100 yards. I don't get it. That's okay. There are those that get it, and I don't need to understand everything. As humans, we can be addicted to almost anything. It's becoming a problem, actually, in our culture, because human resources departments have come to the realization that 2 hours a day is wasted in the workplace because of people being on the internet, doing anything from pornography to Facebook. Sometimes Facebook is pornographic. There's a lot of wasted time. We can become addicted. I need to know, I need to know, I need to know, I need to know. We have 24-hour news. Why do we need 24-hour news? They repeat the same thing over and over again. I just need to be depressed a little bit more, please. Let me see how bad things are so I can feel worse about myself. We need to be yoked to the Lord. We need to have our attachment be to him and to him alone. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. What's that say, Julie?
Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.
Jesus says, take my yoke, because my yoke is easy. He's saying, basically, what I'm doing when you're yoked to me is you're being taught, you're being disciplined on how to be the man or woman of God that I've called you to be. When we walk down the road of wickedness, like I talked about last week, we have broken that yoke from Christ and we're on our own. We've taken on somebody else's yoke. But see, when we take on the yoke of Christ, we set people free. When we take on some other yoke, there's collateral damage all around us. Because when you have a bad attitude, it affects your spouse, it affects your kids, it affects the people you work with. When you're caught up in self-pity and self-condemnation, and when you gossip, when you lie, you take those yokes on you, it damages people around you. And we are responsible for those around us. The only thing we take to heaven with us are the relationships that we build here on earth. Because we are either helping people to become more like Jesus and building our relationship with Him, because anything else that we build is going to remain here. In the first book of the Bible, God tells us and shows us that we have responsibility one for another. Adam and Eve had two sons initially, one named Cain, one named Abel. And as you've read your Bible, you know the story that Cain was a farmer, and he brought to God, the scripture says, some of his fruit as an offering to God. And Abel was a sheep herder, and he brought the best. The difference being, I'm just going to give God some stuff versus I'm giving God my best. And God received Abel's offering, and it made Cain jealous, and so he killed his brother. And so God says to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9,
"Where is Abel, your brother?" He, Cain, said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?"
And the answer to that question is, of course, yes. Yes, you are. See, God brings the people in your life into your life because He knows that you can reach them. Even the most miserable around you are people that you can reach in one way or another. I had a situation on Saturday or Friday night. Took Paige to the hospital, and she had her operation, and it seemed like, you know, I was the missionary to the recovery room there, because everybody and their brother for some reason wanted me to pray for them, and you know, people didn't, I mean, these weren't people that knew me, they just, God was bringing them to me, and so I'm praying for all these people in the waiting room, sorry, not the recovery room, in the waiting room, I'm praying for all these people, and I'm talking to them and encouraging them that their loved one is going to be okay and that God's going to do it, and that building these relationships. And so I what I planned on doing was sitting there and working on next week's sermon, but I guess I had to live next week's sermon a little bit. And so I was doing all that, and I thought, okay, well, you know, when Paige gets out of recovery, then I'll meet her up in her room, and she'll be kind of still out of it, and so I'll be able to sit there and work on my sermon for next week, and while she's just snoozing off, you know, getting off the rest of the anesthetic, and the woman in the bed next to her had checked herself in and needed to go to Western Psych. She was crazy, so there was no rest, and I'm like, okay, God, of all the places where this woman could have gotten stashed, you put her in the bed next to my wife. I get the hint. But how in the world do I begin talking to her? Because she's just freaking out. And so I just did what I do. I poked my head around the curtain and I said, "Hey, you know, is there something I can do for you? Is there something I can help you with?" And she went, "I said, "Oh, okay, fine. I said, I'm a pastor. Can I pray for you? She said, you're a pastor? I said, yeah. So, oh, yeah, yeah. And she says, I used to go to church. I said, oh, where'd you go to church? And she said, I went to Central Assembly of God in Houston, PA. She says, I taught Sunday school, and I did the children's church, and I did this, and I did that. And I said, well, what are you doing here? Why do you need to go to Western Psych? Why are you freaking out? And she began to tell me her story, and it's a story of brokenness and hurt and wound and unforgiveness. And God gave me an opportunity to, in this case, break a yoke of unforgiveness in her life. And she was so calm after I talked with her and prayed with her that the staff didn't want to send her to Western Psych anymore because they felt she was okay. And she said, no, I need to go to Western Psych, in her right mind. Every day you have people in your life that you can bring freedom to. Every day, if you will but get free. See, if we allow these things to control us, then Christ is not. See, the problem with this area and the problem with America is that Christians aren't allowing the Holy Spirit to control them. They're allowing everything else to control them. And folks, we have the answers to set people free. But Pastor, you don't know my weaknesses. You don't know my problems. Listen, it's not that I'm callous. I don't care about your weaknesses. What I care about is, are you pressing into Christ? But Pastor, what about my weaknesses? I know you got weaknesses. I got weaknesses, but I press into Christ. I'm like, God, I don't know what to do about this. I got this thing inside of me that I can't handle, that I can't deal with. And he's like, good, then I'll deal with it for you if you'll just give it to me. But God, I like holding on to it. It's comfortable. I'm used to having it. He's like, yeah, I know that. Why don't you give it to me and see what I'll do through you? See, we have, for things like alcohol problems and porn problems and drug problems and other types of addiction, food addictions, we have here on the property AA, we've got the James Club, and we have an outreach for men that are struggling with pornography. But for others, we have to love people enough to not allow them to live under this yoke. The yokes that we place on ourselves, as I mentioned earlier. The things like self-pity, critical spirit, self-condemnation, gossip, anger, rage, lust, neediness, jealousy, envy, suspicion, addictions to television or to games or to the internet or to Facebook or to any of these other things. See, when we have them, it's because we have a hole inside. Each of us have a hole inside. The holes are different for different people. Some of you have holes inside that come from wounds that you're trying to cover. So what you do is you get caught up in all this other stuff. You get, you know, I'll do this or I'll do that to try to cover that hole. I don't want to be vulnerable to people, so I'll push them away. I don't want them to know really who I am, but I'll push them away so that way I don't get hurt anymore. I don't get rejected anymore. I don't get wounded anymore. I'll put up this wall. I'll do this thing. And so we try to fill those wounds and those rejections and those insecurities with this other stuff, even religion. Got a religious spirit, and so I'm holier than thou. And then others have a hole in them that was created by God. There's drives and passions that God put there, that they are, that God is challenging us to fill with Him, that we can do on our own and they'll be okay, but God says, listen, I put that drive and I put that passion in you, and I want you to allow my Holy Spirit to fill you completely so that you'll be amazed at what I do in fulfilling those drives and passions. And others have holes inside of them that they're, because they're trying to live up to some pressure that somebody else put on them. Some pressure from family. Sometimes it's not always what the family has done, or what the mother or father have done, or what the aunt or uncle or grandparents have done, or the teacher or the coach have done. It's the way a person perceives it. Perception is reality. The way a person perceives something, then they set inside and they try to fill that hole with all these other things. And what God wants to do is He just wants to come in and fill us with His Spirit. See, what happens is when we have these behavioral problems like self-pitying or critical spirit or self-condemnation or gossip or such things, we're not seeing ourselves through the Lord's eyes. We've taken on a yoke, a bondage, or a habit. That is a lie. Because God sees us as valuable, wonderful, and His children. Say with me, I am valuable, I am wonderful, and I am His child. See, when we grab that and we believe that, when the junk comes our way, and when God even stirs stuff inside of us to begin to kill off the flesh, we can handle it because we know we're His kids. When we have anger or rage or neediness or lust and such, we aren't seeing others the way that God sees them. We're treating others as less valuable. And it's normally tied into the pain in our hearts that needs healed. Going back to what I talked about earlier with recognizing our value, our worth, the way that God sees us. And if we're seeking out entertainment to fill that hole, or working out, or doing Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Solitaire, or any other program, sports, or other activities, and can't get along without them, then we do not have the relationship with the Lord that fulfills us. See, we're trying to fill it with all these other things. It's kind of like when I do premarital counseling, often one of the couple will say to me, I say, why are you getting married? And they'll say, well, you know, to just fill this hole that I have inside. I don't feel like I'm a complete person. Guess what? That other person isn't going to complete you. Talk to anybody that's married here or been married. They just bring more baggage into the situation. They add more stuff to you, but it's not necessarily good stuff all the time. You need to be complete before you get married, knowing who you are in Christ. And that saves you all this baggage battling in marriage. Because Christ wants to fill us. And when we spend so much time filling all these holes with all this other junk rather than God. See, what way could the enemy of our souls stop us from being more effective than to say, well, you know what? Reading the Bible is so boring. Spending time in prayer is so boring. I found out as a kid that the Sundays or the Wednesdays or the Tuesdays or the Mondays or the Thursdays or the Fridays or the Saturdays that I didn't want to go to church, because I did go to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and twice on Sunday. The days I really, really didn't want to go to church was the days that God really blessed me. Because it was my own flesh rising up, or the enemy of my soul rising up saying, you don't really want to go to church. And God wanted to meet me there. And folks, there's so much that we miss when we aren't in the Word. There's so much that we miss when we aren't in prayer. There's so much that God has for us. He's talking to us every day. God has an amazing call and a plan on our lives. James 4:8 says, if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. I feel like God is so far away. Well, then draw near to Him. He's not far away. He's right here. I will never leave you or forsake you. It's in the Bible. I want to ask you, what are the things that I've mentioned here have hit you the hardest? Do you want to bring them under control today? Later, you'll have that opportunity. So I talked about obsession. Now I want to talk about oppression, letting the oppressed go free. The Hebrew word picture for oppression reminds us of damaged, cracked vessels. Oppression wears on a person, causing internal fractures, so to speak. When you feel oppressed, parts of you fracture, broken. And as one author puts it, God loves cracked pots. God likes to put us together, if we'll let Him. What the enemy likes to do with that is say, well, I'm so fractured. Man, there's nobody else in the church that is like me. Everybody else in the church is like you. We all have issues. Well, Pastor, you're just so perfect. Listen, the closer I draw to the Lord, the more I realize how far away I am from Him. To be perfectly honest. The more I spend time with Him, and the more He loves on me, and the more He shows me His plan and His purpose for me, and the more that He breaks my heart for people, and the more that He does this work on me, the more I realize, God, I am a man of unclean lips, unclean hands. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord but He who has clean hands and a pure heart? And God, I've got so far to go. And He says, that's right. That's why I want you to learn to depend upon me more. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Leonard Ravenhill, one of the great saints of God. Did you ever meet him? He had a finger that was like 10 feet long. When he preached and he pointed his finger, he felt like he was sticking it right in your eye. Leonard Ravenhill said, a man of God who doesn't spend 2 hours a day in prayer is not worth listening to. And I believe that. How can you draw near to God? How can you speak things of God if you don't know Him? I mean, think about it. How well do you know your spouse? How well do you know your kids? Why do you know them as well as you know them? Because you spend time with them. God has 66 books that are His love letter that He wants us to read and understand. People who say that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are different have never read the Bible. I see a God who's patient and loving and kind and a blessing and holy and righteous in both Old and New Testament. I want to ask you, are you feeling oppressed? Does it feel that you're fractured on the inside of your heart or your soul? The Lord wants to set you free. He's already paid the price. The battle is between your ears, and what comes out of your mouth determines who wins. Go ahead to Acts chapter 10, verse 38.
God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
I need to talk to you about the devil for a moment. He's getting a lot of really good press in the church these days. Oppressions can be demonic, but not always. But they are always rooted in the flesh. Hear me. Oppressions can be demonic, but not always. But they are always rooted in the flesh. To be honest, I would rather deal with the devil than the flesh any day. It's easier to deal with. Through the name of Jesus, we have the power to do deliverance, to set the captive free. Through the name of Jesus, the wicked one is bound. Through the name of Jesus, he is powerless. The devil is just one created being. We are created a little lower than the angels. He was an angel that was fallen, but we have been given the power to overcome. And through that power, the devil is easily defeated. But the flesh is your choice. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you three things. How is your joy? Would those closest to you say you're joyful or not? If you're not, then you're oppressed. What about your peace? Are you fearful all the time? Would people around you call you peaceful? What about love? Do you walk in love? Feel loved? Know how to love? Would the people around you call you loving? See, you can do all that, not in your own strength, but because of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Another one. I'm sorry, I lied. I'm going to ask you four questions. Is the Holy Spirit weaker than the devil? Some of you aren't sure. Is the Holy Spirit weaker than the devil?
No.
Okay. Well, no would be the correct answer. The devil is a created being. The Holy Spirit is God. Because God generally will not overrule our free will, and I said generally because sometimes he does, we simply are choosing to trust in our own flesh, as Abraham did, as Isaac did, as Jacob did, as David did, and most of the heroes and heroines of our faith did at one point or another. But like them, we have to choose to either continue to wallow and allow the devil to overrun us, or choose to repent, which means walk away from the habits and attitudes that led us into this oppression. See, folks, when somebody says to me, the devil is just beating me up, I'm like, I'm sorry, let me introduce you to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. I'm sorry, let me introduce you, let me see if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit that has given us power and dominion and authority and the gifts and the fruit. The devil's just beating me up. Let me introduce you to the Bible, which says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. See, folks, we have developed a theology that is not based on the Word of God. We've developed a theology that puts the devil at the same power as God. You've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. Well, I'm going to read the scripture first, and then I'll share what it is. Good. James 4, 8 through 11.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
We read that scripture, and we focus on that in the church. The devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil's going to get me. It's like the boogeyman. My friend Reinhard Bonnke says, when we get to heaven, we're going to see the devil nothing more than a mouse with a megaphone. And we give him all this glory. Oh, he's like, yes, praise me. That's why I had this whole war with God. I wanted this praise. And so I've got the church praising me. They're saying how powerful I am. They make me omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. So I get this praise and worship and adored. We read that portion of scripture and we don't read it in context. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We forget that when we resist him, he has to flee. We forget that he who has all glory and dominion forever resides in us. The devil has no power and no authority except what we give him. When you choose to be fearful, when you choose to be ignorant, when you choose to be afraid, when you choose to be angry, when you choose to be lustful, when you choose to be greedy, when you choose to gossip, when you choose to be critical, when you choose to lie, when you choose, he then gets power and authority in your life. Just like when Eve said, look at that apple, I'm going to take a bite. By the way, it wasn't an apple, it just says piece of fruit, but we call it an apple. They chose. The devil didn't have any power to make them eat the fruit. They freely chose. And we freely choose to eat the fruit. And then we get the fruit of what we've eaten. Well, the devil made me sick. No. In this world, you will have tribulation. People believe the devil is overwhelmingly powerful because he's like a roaring lion. But he who resides in us is all glory and dominion forever. That should settle it. But what about all the junk I'm going through? What about the muck and the mire? What about all the stuff that's happening? Listen, God allows this stuff to raise up, like the scripture says, if you read your Bible. God is like a refining fire. Which means, is Bill in here or is he out? He was in the first service. He's out. When you're refining gold or silver or platinum, or any metal for that matter, the refiner puts it in a pot of some kind and heats it. Some of you are in that pot right now, and you're being heated, and the garbage rises to the top. And when the garbage rises to the top, if you allow God to do it, he will come in and scoop that stuff right off, and you'll be pure. But if you want to sit there and say, look what the devil is doing to me! And the devil's like, demons, do we even know them? Have we been around them? I'm confused. I'll accept the praise and the glory, but you know, I can't be everywhere at the same time. But I guess if I'm bothering Mrs. Smith, I guess Mr. Jones can be bothered too. No offense, Alan. God is always working to make us pure and holy. And as we move in closer to Him, the scripture says it this way: He disciplines those whom He loves. No one loves discipline. But when this muck and this mire begin to raise, we have a choice to make. It's the devil! Or, God, you know what? I didn't realize that was inside of me. I didn't realize that was there. I didn't realize that fear was there. I didn't realize that bad attitude was there. I didn't realize that anger was there. I didn't realize that insecurity was there. God, I didn't realize those words were even in my vocabulary. I didn't realize that lust was there, that greed was there, that gossiping spirit was there. I didn't realize that critical spirit was there. I didn't realize that judgmental attitude was there. I didn't realize that all this stuff was in me. God, deal with me. And watch and see what God does as He takes and just wipes the garbage right off and makes you pure and makes you holy. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. See, my Bible tells me that the devil has been defeated. Yes. And I am the one that allow him to rise up in power by my attitudes, by my actions. Because here's what John said about Jesus:
He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
It doesn't say there in the Greek that Jesus came to destroy a work of the devil. It says, the implication is, the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. In you, in me, in this world. Nothing scares the devil more than people who begin to believe what the Bible says. When people begin to believe that God has called us more than conquerors, and it doesn't have anything to do with how I feel. It doesn't even have anything to do with me being perfect. It doesn't have anything to do with me memorizing the entire Bible. It has everything to do with me just being surrendered to Him. And even when I've had a lousy day and God brings somebody across my path that I got to minister to, it's not about how I feel. It's about, God, listen, you brought this person across my path, so God, let me get the junk out of the way and I'm just going to be who you need me to be for this person right now, right here. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And God, I am sick to death of the devil giving me a bad attitude. I'm sick to death of surrendering to the devil. I'm sick to death of giving him glory. I'm sick to death of letting my flesh rise up. God, bring it under submission to Christ. God, let me die so that I no longer live, that you live in me. God, let me do as Paul said, I die daily. God, get it out of me, because all I want to do is glow and let everyone else see the radiance of your glory in me and have them healed and delivered and strengthened and encouraged and know that they can be set free and know that there's no bondage, there's no wickedness, there's nothing that can hold anyone, because God has done it in me and He's doing it in me even now. That's what God has called us to be, if we'll choose to believe it. I can't make you believe it. If you read the word, if you pray, what will happen is something will start rumbling inside of you. And there'll be a sense of God's glory wants to be manifest. There's an anointing of God that's rising up inside of me. There's a blessing that I have. I'm beginning to see the gifts and callings. I'm beginning to see people the way that Jesus sees them. I'm beginning to see that God wants to set people free. I'm beginning to see that I'm no longer under any other power or authority other than the Holy Spirit. I am no longer under any submission to any demonic force. My flesh is dying off, and Christ is being seen more and more inside of me. That there are lives that are being changed around me, and it's not even about me. It's about Him in me. And there are days that I have bad days, and rather than living in those bad places, I'm saying, God, I give it to you because I blew it again today. But God, I give it to you because I don't want to live there. I don't want to mope there. I don't want to stay wounded. I don't want to stay beat up. God, I just want you to keep working in me and accomplishing your goodness in me and touching hearts and lives all around me. That's what God wants. Christ is destroyed and will continue to destroy all the works of the enemy. Oppressions and yokes are things that we choose to break by several keys. Christ has already done it. We just have to submit to what He's done. And here's how we do it. Number one, confession. We have to realize, rather than blaming the devil for all of our problems, we have to realize that we have allowed this stuff to control us. I can't blame my bad attitude on the devil. I made the choice to submit to the devil rather than submitting to God. I made the choice to have this fear in my life. But that's not fair, Pastor. Then I have responsibility. It's why the church is anemic. Because we don't accept responsibility. I can't change until I realize I need to change. If it's just the devil, then it's not my responsibility. The devil made me do it. I just need to defeat the devil. Which leads us to the next point. You accept that it's your responsibility, and then you surrender to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Tell the Lord you deserve to let it go. You desire to let it go, sorry. You're not being successful at it, but you're choosing to surrender. And you do it every time you see the signs of the oppression in your life, or you feel it, choose to surrender to the Lord. It's a matter of saying, God, I know I do this. I know I do it. And I have taken great joy in blaming the devil for it, but I know it's a choice I've made. Every person I've prayed for deliverance, their demonic level of demonization started because they made a choice in the flesh. As a Christian, the devil doesn't have any right to do anything that you don't allow him to do. I don't like that, Pastor. I want to blame the devil. It's a whole lot easier. Then it's not my responsibility. Folks, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And I am sick to the death of letting the devil get glory. We choose to sin. We choose to have a bad attitude. We choose to be fearful, insecure. We choose to gossip, to lie. But we have a spirit in us, the Holy Spirit from God, that is greater than all this. And when we begin to believe that His Spirit is actually alive in us, and it doesn't depend upon my goodness, it depends upon my surrendering. And then, because many of you have done this, you've confessed and you surrendered. You're like, okay, I've confessed and I've surrendered. 1,000 times I've confessed and I've surrendered. 10,000 times I've confessed and I've surrendered. Point three, take action. Apply the word to the oppression. Apply Christ's promises and decide to choose to not live there anymore. You have the power of choice to make the change because the power of the Holy Spirit lives in you. Okay, let's think about that for a moment. The Holy Spirit lives in me. What is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. And he lives in me. Who is God? He's the one that created me. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. He is all-powerful. And he lives in me. I have all that love, all that joy, all that peace, all that power, all that authority living in me. Why? Because he wants you to have all that power, all that joy, all that peace, all that freedom. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him we might have life, and life abundantly. I know I'm blending scriptures there, but that is scary to the devil. That is scary to the world system when Christians begin to believe that to be true. Money or lack thereof, health or lack thereof, people, relationships, jobs or lack thereof, don't determine what God can do through you. Your choices determine what God can do through you. When we grab onto that, and we begin to believe that, then our light will shine. At the darkest times will be like noonday. That we will set the captive free. We will set the prisoners free. There will be no darkness in our lives or in the lives of the people around us. We will heal old wounds. We will be healed ourselves. One of the greatest saints of God that ever attended this church was a man by the name of Paul Reed. He was Beth Hoag's father. Had some kind of disease, I don't remember what it was, that caused him to feel like he was on fire all the time, from what I remember. And I would get phone calls from him saying he was praying for me. Why? Because he had victory. His body didn't control his victory. His condition didn't control his victory. he knew who God was. He wasn't a whiner or complainer. He's probably one of the strongest men I ever met in my life. And I've met a lot of great men. Because he knew who God was. When you know who God is, then the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What are you going to do today? What yokes are holding you back? Bring them to the Lord today. What oppressions have you bound? You can take control. Come, confess, surrender, and take action. You need to get into the Word to look up the scriptures about overcoming and conquering, the promises of His peace, and all the things that you need to overcome. Folks, I know revival is coming. When it comes, the timing of it has everything to do with us and God. I've read about Cain Ridge, read about Azusa Street, read about all the things with George Whitefield, read about Charles Finney, read about what happened in England. And it seemed as if God just showed up in some cases. But as you read further, you see that there were a group of people who began to pray and began to believe God despite their circumstances, despite their situations, even despite their sin. They just began to say, God, do it in us. Whatever you want to do, do it in us. And they weren't afraid. Because when you surrender to God, amazing things begin to happen. When you surrender to God, all hell breaks loose, but you push back the gates of hell. Let's watch and see what God is going to do. But this morning, it may start with you. Confess, surrender, and take action. Let's stand. I know this is a pregnant pause, but just bear with me for a moment. The scripture verse that I quoted as from James chapter 4, verse 8 through 11 was really 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. Sometimes that happens because I'm studying too many things at the same time. but I want to encourage you to reread that. That you're not afraid, because you know to him be the glory and dominion forever. God is always faithful. He is always good. And he always loves us. Let's let God have all the glory. And let's win the fight. Let's surrender to him. Confess this morning, surrender. And then don't just leave it there. Get into the word and take action. Father, we give to you our time today. And Lord, I know we come up front and we confess and we're sincere. And Lord, you see the sincerity of our hearts, and I'm grateful for that. But Lord, it took choices to get into the messes that we get into, and it takes choices to get out. Father, let us be people of your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It separates the soul. Your word is Jesus. Lord, do the work in us. Let your Holy Spirit move this morning and touch every heart and every life in this room. Let us walk in the freedom and the victory that you have called us to, rather than letting these things control us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.